Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 23 through 29. Wait a minute, I gotta get my timer. Y'all heard that joke about the guy who went to church for the first time and he asked the person every time the preacher did something what that meant, and then he laid his watch on the pulpit and the guy said, "What does that mean?" And he said, "Nothing at all." Hear these words of the Lord. Jesus answered him and said, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Here ends the reading. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Illuminate our minds and our hearts, O Lord. It is our desire that the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable in your sight in this place and in our going out. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. The Bible says in John's Gospel that if you and I love the Lord, then we will do what He says. We will just not have lip service. Our words, we will walk our talk, right? That's what you and I were raised hearing. Walk your talk. Some of us grew up hearing this: "Your action speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying." Jesus said that they shall know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. You and I testify in the world who we are by how you and I treat one another. We've been given our job description to love one another as Jesus loved us. We have His example. Jesus went out and offered all persons that He came in contact with acceptance, love, understanding. When someone went left when they should have went right, He called their attention to it. He gently led them. Whenever the religious people were trying to be exclusive about His love, He called them on the carpet. You know, there was one group of people that Jesus talked about hell more to than anybody. I want you to hear this. There was one group of people that Jesus talked to more about hell than anybody. Do you know who those people were? They were the religious folk. Does that surprise you? Does it surprise you? See, you and I thought it was the prostitutes, the thieves, the liar, and all of those people, right? Well, let me share something with you. The reason He talked to the religious people about hell is they're the ones who had something to lose. When you and I are claiming to be Christian and our lives are going in the opposite direction, we're sending out a mixed message. Have you all ever experienced a mixed message? Have you ever talked to someone and when they say no, they do this? Sort of makes you wonder why they don't do this. Makes you wonder why they do this. Or if they say go to the right, they point to the left. Or vice versa. Jesus said that, "Do not be concerned because I am leaving, because there is good news in my leaving," He says, "for I am going to be sending, the Father is, through my name, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit to you. In other words, the disciples will not be alone. They needed Jesus. You know, Christianity is not something for any long ranger. If you're a long ranger, Christianity isn't for you. Preachers who become long rangers end up in detox. They end up on drugs. They end up in all kinds of messes. When a preacher is a long ranger and they don't need anybody, they can do it all by themselves. Au contraire, look out, because trouble is about to occur. Christianity is about community. We can't do it on our own. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. We need one another to encourage one another. Because there's going to be times when I can't pray that I'm going to need you to pray for me. There's going to be times when you can't pray and you're going to need me to pray for you. There's going to be times that I need encouragement and I'm going to need those words for you. There's going to be times you need encouragement and I need to have those words for you. I can't make it on my own. I can't even become Christian on my own. I needed someone to tell me the story that I could not tell myself. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's not something that someone just created in their mind. That is the good news that God brought to us through His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. And we need one another to share that story with and to remind that story with. Therefore, Jesus is leaving. And He's going to encourage the disciples to hang on, not to give up, because He's going to be sending the Holy Spirit, who would be their teacher and who would remind them of what He taught them, because sometimes they didn't always get it. Sometimes we don't always get it. We pray for discernment of spirit of how to go, what to do. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we don't. It took Peter three times in order before he went into a Gentile house. Because he was taught most of his life that a Jew don't walk into a Gentile house. The gentleman who you may have saw come through that door, who you saw leave, was a man of Jewish faith. A man of Jewish faith comes to a Christian church and asks for help. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. I would like to think that if I was in trouble and I knew where a Jewish neighborhood was, that I could go there and ask for help and they would remember who they are. And that they would help me. And that they could come here and we could help them. You know, sometimes the people who we think are going to help us won't help us, and the people that we thought wouldn't help us would. I'll never forget when Mary and I think we were at some fast food place or something, and I went out in the car to start the car, and the battery was dead. So I looked around to see who I might ask, and I saw all these people who had just been to church. They had coats and ties on. I thought, I'll ask them and see if they'll help me start my car. So I went over there and I said, excuse me, my battery's... I mean, I had on a coat and tie too. I said, my battery's down. Do you all have some jumper cables? Would you all help me start my car? And they said, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Well, I looked over in the other corner and there was a group of people who I don't know if I want to go over and ask them anything. They weren't dressed like me. They didn't look like me. They looked pretty rough. So I went over there and I said, excuse me. And they said, have you got car trouble? We saw you out at your car and we saw you come back in. Well, yeah, I do. You need some jumper cables? Well, yeah, I do. My battery's dead. And I didn't have to ask you. They all jumped up, went outside, cranked up their car, put up cables on my batteries, and started my car, and I was off. And I thought, you know, I'll never ask church people to help me ever again. I'll look for the sinners. I'll look for the lost. I'll look for the tattoos. I'll look for the beards. I'll look for the dirty people. I'll look for those who probably hadn't gone to church that day because they seem to know more about the good news than those who went to hear about it. Now, I'm being facetious. I'm being facetious. That don't always happen. But Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, because sometimes you hear it the first time and sometimes you don't. He says, I'm going to send you someone, and this helper's called the advocate. Whenever you think about advocate, if you want to remember what that means, think baseball. Think baseball. Because the word advocate in Greek means a paracletes. A paraclete. A paraclete. That's exactly right. Word association. That is someone who is a helper. Someone who will stand beside you. Ben was talking to the kids about having a best friend. When Jad and I get together, Jad and I, we talk about he's being a defense attorney. I've learned a lot from Jad. Jad and I believe that if Jesus came back today, he would be a defense attorney. I believe he would. I believe he'd be a defense attorney. Of course, the kind of defense attorney Jesus would be an interesting one. Because not only would he defend those people who may be guilty or innocent, whenever they were tried and convicted, if they had to go to jail, Jesus would go with them. That's the kind of person Jesus is. Because a best friend will stand with you regardless if you're right or wrong. A best friend will not justify your bad actions. A best friend will let you know when you've gone awry. A best friend won't just wink at you and let it go. If someone is your best friend, they care about you. And they care if you're going the wrong way. That's a best friend. Yet they will stand beside you. They will not leave you. This is the kind of person the Holy Ghost is. Jesus says, "My peace I give with you." And the kind of peace, brothers and sisters, you and I can have today is if we are living a life where we can give of ourselves. I love what I do because I can give of myself. That gives me more fulfilling than anything that I could ever do. When I was in the hospital and didn't know if I would ever come back, my greatest fear was if I couldn't keep doing this, what would I do that would give me the kind of joy that this gives me? And I couldn't think of a thing. Many of us who've had many jobs and who finally found something that finally we found our niche, it was because we found a place where we could give of ourselves. We could try and make a difference whether we did or not. Teachers, you know what I mean. Doctors, you know what I mean. Attorneys, you know what I mean. Coaches, you know what I mean. Finding a place where we can give of ourselves to affect the good and for the good of another. That brings peace. That allows us to know that we've done a good job. That allows us to know that we are fulfilling our calling. Not that we have a lot of success. Not that we changed a lot of lives. But we offered the opportunity for lives to be changed. And sometimes people took us up on it. And their lives were changed. Jesus said, so don't get all anxiety ridden. Whenever I'm at a funeral and I read that verse of Scripture that says, do not let your hearts be troubled, I wonder how many people are sitting at the funeral going, too late. Just a little too late, preacher. All that we've been through and now we're here, our hearts are troubled. And I get that. But brothers and sisters, one of the things that you and I need to hear in the Scriptures, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. There are things that you and I can let our hearts be troubled by, but Jesus wants you and I to know that He is with us, and we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. But we do. You know, we're getting ready to go on vacation, aren't we? How many of us will get our bags packed, we'll get in the car, and we'll take off, and when we're about 10 minutes down the road, we'll think, did I turn the air off? Did I unplug that curling iron? Or did I unplug that iron? You remember what an iron is. It's what you do on clothes and stuff like that. Or did I turn out the bathroom light? Did the garage door close? Well, I think it did. Well, did you see it close? Well, no, but I'm sure it did. Stories told about a mom who always thought she left the iron on. They'd get 10 minutes down the road every year and she'd say, oh my gosh, I think I left the iron. So the dad would turn around and go back home. This went on for years and years and years. And one day she said it again and the husband pulled over, got out of the car, went around to the back, opened the trunk. Closed the trunk, opened her door, and handed her the iron and said, "Here it is, sweetheart." Sometimes when I'm talking to my mama, and I talk to her every day, sometimes we'll talk about my dad, who's been gone for many, many years. And sometimes I'll say to her, "Mom, what do you miss the most about Dad?" And she says the same thing. She says, "Randall, what I miss the most about your daddy is what he used to say to me when I would get all worried and concerned." And I said, "Well, what did he say, Mom?" And she said, "He would always say to me, 'Lois, it's going to be okay.'" So I come today to tell you something that maybe you wonder if life's going to be okay. Maybe there's someone in your life who used to assure you, who's not here anymore. I want to assure you of someone who is here, who does know that you're here, and who is here with you. And that is the Holy Spirit. And He wants you and me to know that it's going to be okay. You and I worry about a lot of things. There are some days that I spend more time in yesterday and in tomorrow than I do today. And I can't control yesterday, and I can't control tomorrow, and there's a lot of things I can't control in today. But many times I miss the moment. I miss being in the moment because I'm living yesterday or I'm living tomorrow, all anxiety ridden, instead of being able to do what I can do today. May we hear those words today, and may they inspire us and encourage us to live in the moment, trusting that God will take care of tomorrow and take care of yesterday, and will also take care of today. May we pray. Hear our prayers today, O Lord. Hear our struggles. Hear our cries and our needs this day. Help us to not let our hearts be troubled, though they still may be. Massage them, we pray, with prayer. Remind us who we are and whose we are each and every day. Help us not to forget, for if we do, then things can go awry. So be with us and go with us, we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen. Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.